He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. I'll be back. Those were my daughter's first words. I couldn't figure out what she was saying. We couldn't figure it out until a couple days later I realized she was saying, "I'll be back," which was something that I often said to her. Knowing a little about child development, I knew that when you have a toddler and you leave the room, you have kind of completely disappeared. You know, in their minds, out of sight, out of mind. Thank you. And I would assure her that I was, you know, coming back, and then that's what she learned. I'll be back. Like a loving parent, Jesus assures us and his disciples that he will be coming back in our readings today. Jesus has been coming and going since his resurrection on Easter, and he seems to pop in and pop out kind of all over the place, on the beach, at dinner. Throughout the season of Easter, we have been listening to lessons from the Gospel of John, trying, as Jesus tried to prepare his disciples, that he would be leaving them and he would be going back to his Father. The festival of Ascension is kind of a link between the time of when Jesus is on earth and the time of the church carrying out Jesus' mission. So Ascension is kind of this little piece in between in the church year. You have probably seen a lot of medieval artwork of Jesus ascending up into the clouds with his hands out in blessing. In the church where I grew up, we had a whole mural on the front wall of the church, a painting of the Ascension. And I think the whole idea was that for us sitting in the pews, it just felt like you were looking up at Jesus ascending into heaven. But just where is heaven? This whole concept of Jesus being up in the sky, kind of like a rocket taking off to heaven, was based on a three-tiered understanding of the universe. Back then, people thought that there was a realm below the earth that's where the dead were, or those who were damned, and that was a place where you didn't want to go. Then there was the earth, and then there was the realm above the earth, where God supposedly lived. But since Copernicus in the 16th century, we haven't really believed that that's the way the universe works. So we can't necessarily take Jesus' ascension real literally either. Kind of like a joke that I've heard before, where young Jimmy is convinced that God is left-handed, and his mom says, "Well, why do you think God is left-handed?" And he says, "Because Jesus is sitting on his right hand." So, you know, we can't take it that literally. It's better to understand the ascension not so much in terms of a spatial point of view, but from a theological perspective. Jesus left the earth, and we literally no longer see him. He ascended to be with his Father, from whom he came. He and the Father reign over all creation. And he assures us of his return by giving us the Holy Spirit. And that spirit of Jesus and his Father at Pentecost comes at Pentecost, and then it abides with us even until now. Whenever we see evidence of Jesus' presence here with us on earth, and we can see Jesus' presence just about everywhere we look. I was sitting out on my patio yesterday morning and just enjoying the sound of the birds and seeing the flowers and the green grass and the trees, and it was just breathtakingly beautiful. And I'm sure you've been in those times where you just give thanks to the Creator for God, for the beauty of creation. I really encourage you to take a look out at our memorial garden today and how beautiful it is. A few minutes later, it was raining, typical of the last few days. But Jesus is Lord over all of it. Someday he will return. He'll be back. And he'll bring all things to completion then, in the fullness of the reign of God. In a sense, heaven will come to earth and make it whole. And it's a day that we look forward to. It's not something that we have to worry about with fear, because his love and his forgiveness and his grace is his last word. You are witnesses of these things, Jesus tells us. Until he comes back, we, his disciples, are the witnesses of all that we have seen and heard. And I just love that phrase in Luke where he says, he opened their minds. Think about that. Having your mind opened up to actually understand that Moses and the prophets were all teaching that it was necessary for the Messiah to come to earth, to suffer, to die, and to be raised again, for God to defeat the power of sin and death forever. By this we know that we will never be abandoned. We will never suffer and die alone. Jesus knows what our human journey is like. In holy baptism, he promises us new life that never ends. Friday night, I watched as St. Luke's witnessed to these things. Some of you may or may not know a person we've been praying for, a woman named Nikki Weibel. She's been struggling with a brain tumor for about 6 months. Her parents are Susan and Lou Robach, and she is married and has two sons, one about 14, one about 9 or 10 years old. And this week, that family, on doctor's recommendations, made the heartbreaking decision to discontinue her chemotherapy. They brought her home to her parents' house so they could care for her. And a few people from St. Luke's organized a prayer vigil for her on Friday night. As Nikki watched out the front window, about 50 people, friends and family, gathered in the front yard to sing of God's love and God's grace for her. They held candles symbolizing the light of Christ that will lead her into the next tomorrow. And they filed past her window to wave or to blow her a kiss or to tell her that they loved her. It was sad, but it was very moving. It was a powerful show of love, and it was a witness. The people of St. Luke's witnessed to what is the most important thing about our faith: that Christ loves us, that he died for us and rose again and will bring us to eternal life. And that, in a sense, is the ascension, that we will live with God forever. Neighbors and friends and relatives of Nikki saw this wonderful witness. I remember getting out of the car in the neighborhood, and the neighbors were kind of looking to see what was going on. And that is what we are all about until Christ comes again. Whether we are doing habitat work in Florida, whether we are mentoring a student that is having some troubles, whether we are advocating for those who do not have good health care, you are my witnesses, Jesus says. The Holy Spirit fills us and empowers us so that we may be witnesses to the centrifugal love of Christ. That centrifugal force that keeps moving outward further and further outward, indeed to all the earth. And this may be the first time here in the 21st century where we can actually carry that good news all the way to all the world through our technology. I know that prayer vigil was set up through social media. You know, in a day or two, they had people ready to come. We have sons and granddaughters serving in the military throughout the world. Some of us are now traveling to such faraway places as China and Iceland and Antarctica, literally to the ends of the earth. And we are witnesses to Christ's love wherever we go. We return then with great joy, having been blessed by our work. And may we be found in God's temple, continually praising God for all that he has done for us. Amen.